I'm excited this morning to bring you another message from our series, Elijah and Elisha. We've been looking at these two faith-filled, big-thinking prophets, and God's shown us incredible things so far. We've got three more weeks that we're going to be spending, including today, looking at the lives of these two prophets and what God was doing in their lives. And I'll be honest, the story today is a weird story. It's a random story. It's odd. It feels like, God, if you had a certain number of words you could fit into a Bible, like, I don't know if the verses that we're going to read today would have made the cut. It just seems kind of odd, and we'll get into that in a second. But this morning, I wonder how many of you spend a lot of time looking for something that you've misplaced. How many of you say you spend quite a bit of time looking for something that you've lost? I think it was this week where three times in one day, I had to use my Find My iPhone app to find my wife's phone. And she puts it in weird places, but when the two become one, it's almost like I know her better than she knows herself. I'm always the one that finds it. She's been really keen on like the fourth row from the bottom of the shoe rack lately. I don't know why it would ever end there, but maybe she's looking at her shoes too much. I don't know. There's occasionally times, though, that I lose things, and I don't know if you've ever lost something that's actually been in your possession, right? And so sometimes, like, if it's really sunny out and I need the sunglasses, I'll be looking for my sunglasses feverishly for a couple of minutes and then realize, idiot, they're on your head. Or looking for car keys, and maybe they're not in the front right pocket, and like normally, because I put them in pocket over here. It's like, you've got them on your person. And it's like, man, that's frustrating. I spent all that time looking for that. I've even once or twice in my life, I've been talking on my cell phone looking for my cell phone. Anybody? No? Okay, well, thought maybe some of you out there. Today, what I want to talk about is losing something else. And there's a good chance for many of you who are followers of Christ that you've actually lost something spiritual in nature. Some of you may have lost a passion for God that you once had, but you just don't have it today. Some of you might have lost some joy. There used to be this deep-seated contentment and joy no matter what happened in this world. And then maybe life's pressures and things have beaten you down so much that you just don't have that joy and that contentment anymore that you used to have. Some of you at one point had great faith. And you prayed and you prayed and you believed God for big things, that He's going to bless you and prosper you. He's got a hope for you and a future for you. And something happened along the way and you're not even sure that you believe any of this anymore. A lot of us, I believe, have had something very important spiritually that we've lost along the way. And today we're going to look at, like I said earlier, was one of the weirdest miracles in all the Bible. It just doesn't seem like it fits. Not that it's not a cool story, but it just it doesn't seem that important that it should even be in the Word of God. We've been looking at different miracles that Elisha has performed, and so far, like he's healed a poisonous body of water to save a community. He's provided for a widow that would have lost her two children for the duration of her life. Last week we looked at a story where he actually raised a dead child. And we skipped over 2 Kings 5, and in that story, he's going to heal Naaman, who's a commander in the army of leprosy. These are all big, massive things. And today, in chapter 6, we're going to look at this miracle, where essentially it's kind of like one of his seminary students was borrowing an axe, and he was chopping down the tree when the axe head flew off the stick into the water, and Elisha's going to throw a stick into the water, and then the axe head's going to float. And that's the story. It's like, wow, that's cool and all, but how's that significant for me? What can I learn from that? I think there's actually a couple of really important things that we'll see as we dive into this story. The first one is a much smaller point, but hopefully we'll give a few folks some comfort here this morning. Is one thing you need to know is that at that time, iron was very valuable to have, and so it was hard to come by. And this prophet, this young prophet, was just probably like a equivalent of like a seminary student today, and doesn't have much money. He's poor. He just lost his axe head, which is a big deal. We're going to find out it was borrowed. So he's like a college student. He's got student loans to pay off. He's eating ramen noodles. And so any loss at all is a big loss. Some of you know what I'm talking about right now with the ramen noodles stuff. I heard one preacher joke that this prophet was a non-profit prophet. It's pretty good, right? Just making sure you're with me. Nonprofit prophet. There's the word prophet are spelled differently if you didn't figure that out yet. For the really slow people out there, the ones that got to catch up a little bit this morning. This guy doesn't have much, and he loses his axe head, and then we see the man of God bring the axe head back, which again, this is the smaller point, but I hope brings someone comfort this morning. It shows you very clearly that our big God actually cares about the little details in our lives. That's encouraging and comfort to me to know that God isn't present only in my epic showdowns and my life-altering crises, but he's also superintending my everyday struggles. He's right here with me, that no detail or circumstance falls outside of his concern for me, that he cares about the little frustrations that cause me to become unhinged. And that's great, because sometimes what we're going to notice is our spiritual momentum and our Christian walk is oftentimes gained or lost in the everyday affairs of life. It's good to know that God's in those everyday affairs of life. He cares about the little things. If you've got a headache, God cares. If you've got a chemistry test coming up, God cares. If your car won't start in the morning, God cares. If you can't find your cell phone while you're on your cell phone, God's laughing at you, but he still cares. We have a God that cares about the little things. So backing up, if you remember, Elijah mentored Elisha. And so Elisha's kind of, I'm setting the scene for you in 2 Kings chapter 6. You should turn there at page 368 in the Bibles we have in the seats. And if that's your only Bible, please feel free to take that. That's our gift to you. Page 368, 2 Kings 6. I want to set the story up for you. So we see that Elisha is now passing the torch. He's now mentoring the next generation of young prophets and wants to learn from them. And so there's all these younger prophets who are like, hey, Elisha, we want to follow after you. Can we? And of course, he allows them to study under them. And so Elisha builds this school for them. And there were so many of them that they actually outgrew the school. And that's kind of the background story to get us to verse 1, which reads this. The company of the prophet said to Elisha, look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. So Elisha, it's time for a building campaign. You ready? Verse 2. Let's go to the Jordan. This is their idea, where each of us can get a pole, and let us build a place for us to meet. And he said, go. And one of the students asked, well, won't you come with us, your servants? And Elisha says, I will. And he went down with them. They went to the Jordan, and it says they began to cut down trees. Now here comes the action. I don't want you to miss it this morning. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe had fell into the water. So we've got chop, 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 zoo, 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 plop. Okay, that's the action here. And he says, oh no, my Lord. He cries out, oh no, my Lord. It was borrowed. And that was a big deal for him. The man of God asked, well, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick, threw it in the water, and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. And the man reached out his hand and took it. Now, besides God caring about the little details, there's one major point that I want to embrace internally that we're going to come back to again and again in this message. And if you're taking notes, this is the main point this morning, is that God knows how to help you find what you never meant to lose. Amen. God knows how to help you find what you didn't mean to lose. I thought someone would be excited. That's all right. Just Hartley up here. That's cool. Me and Hartley. It's all good. Those of you who lost something spiritual in nature, we can be reminded that we have a God that is totally into restoration, completely into recovery, completely into giving us back what we once lost. And what I've noticed is that the Christian walk is rarely one of nonstop momentum and never-ending ascent to God's glory. I wish it were like that, but it's not automatic. It's an intentional daily decision that we got to wake up with. And sometimes in the midst of our daily lives, we turn on the autopilot and we forget to make those decisions to follow Christ each and every day, each and every moment. And when we've done it time and time and time again, we lose what we've sacrificed so much to gain, and we're caught wondering if we're ever going to have it back again. And the good news is that God knows how to help you find what you never meant to lose in the first place. And now, as we talk about losing the axe head, this guy lost his edge. What I want to do is I want to preach this passage to you metaphorically and symbolically and talk about how we can apply this to our spiritual lives. The big question I want to ask this morning is, how have you lost your spiritual edge? My title this morning is To Get Your Edge Back. I want us to get our edge back this morning, because for most of you that are Christian, we can be real honest and say, when I ask the question, how have you lost your spiritual edge? We can point to, I have lost it. I'm not who I once was or who I once thought I would be. I'm not on that path that's just leading all the way to God all the time. Now, for some of you, when I ask, how have you lost your spiritual edge? Some of you will say, honestly, Zach, really, I haven't. I'm in a great place right now. And if that's you, I want to celebrate that with you. And I want to thank God for you. And honestly, you ought to be the Elisha for our church. Because there's a lot less of you than there are of us who've lost our edge. And I just want to commend you to continue to do what you're doing to keep your spiritual passion high. But it is my guess that for many followers of Jesus Christ, you might honestly say there was another time in your life when you were more into the things of God than you are today. And so I would ask you to acknowledge specifically and honestly, how have you lost your edge? For some of you, you might recognize there was a time when you surrounded yourselves with committed Christian brothers and sisters that were around you to pray for you and build you up and encourage you in the things that mattered most. But when you look around now, you have fewer of those kinds of friends, and they're not really actually building you up in the things of God, and you've lost your edge because of who you've surrounded yourself with. Some of you, there was time that you served in our church or a church, and you had the thrill of being used by God and making a difference in His kingdom. And sometimes it was hard to serve, but all the time it was fulfilling for you. And then something happened, and we don't know what it was. Maybe you just got busy. Maybe you had kids. Maybe you had a new job and you stopped because it didn't work with the schedule anymore. And you were going to get back to it when it did work with the schedule, but it never has worked with the schedule. And so you never did get back to it. Now you're missing out on something because you knew what it was like to be used by God. But now your life is pretty much about you. Some of you, there was a time when you had a passion for prayer. I mean, you would wake up in the morning and you would have long prayers with God, and it was passionate, and it was full of faith and belief. And now, quite honestly, you may pray over a meal, like when somebody's watching, or you may pray when there's disaster or tragedy that strikes. But the truth is, you haven't prayed in a significant way in a really long time. Some of you at one point in your life, you've really loved to share your faith with those that didn't know Jesus. And you had a really deep, abiding love and passion and hunger to reach those that don't know who Jesus Christ is. But something happened along the way. And honestly, today, you don't know when the last good spiritual conversation you had with somebody that didn't know Jesus Christ actually was. Some of you might, if you're really honest, notice that you're standards have eroded. The one thing that you said, oh, I'll never do that. That's not good for me. It's not what believers in Jesus would do. But then you maybe it was peer pressure. Come on. And maybe you said, okay, just this once, and it's only going to be this once. And for whatever reason, you fell. And before long, you started cutting some corners and taking shortcuts in your life. And you're doing things that you wouldn't have been caught doing many years ago. And now you wake up and wonder, why am I the way I am? How did I get all the way over here? I have no idea what happened to me. And what happens with some of us is, I used to do this, but now there's this. Fill in the blank. I used to do this over here. I used to have my edge, and now it's, I don't know, what happened? How have you lost your spiritual edge? And the reality is that it can happen to each and every one of us, because the enemy, the devil, Satan, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking to kill, steal, and destroy anything that is pleasing to the heart of God. And when you've got your edge for the Lord, when you're on the path, there is nothing that the enemy hates worse than that. And so he's coming after you. Interestingly, in the text, the young prophet, like, didn't necessarily do anything wrong to cause this trouble upon himself. He was working hard. He was actually pursuing God's will for his life. He seemed to be doing exactly what he needed to be doing. I mean, worst case scenario, maybe this guy was careless. And I do think that sometimes that's typical of how we lose our edge with God. Usually we're just doing our thing. We're just swinging away, living life, managing endless to-do lists. being as nice and helpful as we can to the people that we're around. But at some point, we keep swinging. We look up and realize that all of a sudden, I'm swinging without my edge anymore. And it's not making a difference like it used to. In a moment of honesty, and I try to be honest with you all the time, by the way, but I've noticed that as a pastor, that I can lose my edge. See, many people think that pastors, that my spiritual life is always on, that I'm always living strong for God. I don't have any major issues, only some really non-serious minor issues. People think that I wake up with incense burning and I go into my chamber and I get on my knees and I pray for each one of you by name, plus all your family relatives. I don't even know their names, but the God gives me your names in that moment. And I'm just praying and everything is going well. And even when I turn out the lights in the evening, I glow because the anointing is with me. It's actually true. Not really. That couldn't be further from the truth. I've joked with the Lord before that I think one of the reasons he wanted me to be a pastor is because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be a very good Christian. I don't have discipline like some of you have. And what's cool about my job is it keeps me disciplined. But sometimes it can be more for others than it can even be for me. Sometimes when we're doing the work of God for others, it can actually destroy the work of God in me. And I think that's not just pastors and people that work at church. I think that there's sometimes that you are trying to do the work of God for others so much that you actually lose sight of the personal dynamic relationship God has for you. And by doing the work for others, doing it really well, you're actually destroying the work of God for yourself. Sometimes you shouldn't be the one helping others when honestly you need some help yourself. And I've noticed this in my life, even as a pastor, there's been seasons and times I can point to that it's like, man, something's not right. I lost my edge. I lost what I once had. I want to get back to what I once had. I want that edge. I want that confidence. I want that kind of strut that I got where God is on my side and the enemy's not going to come after me. And I want that. I need that. You guys need that from me. You need that from our staff. We need that from each other. This city needs that from us. They need us to have our edge. I've been preaching at times on a particular topic very passionately and confidently, and then I'll go home later that day, and it's like sometimes I don't even take my own words and my own advice that I'm giving to you guys, and it's like, how can I trust them to put what I say in practice when I can't even do it myself? I've lost my edge in those moments when that happens. There's been a couple seasons in my life when I realized maybe it was right before my prayer or during my prayer that I had up here that I realized, you know what? I'm a horrible Christian. I've prayed more publicly this week than I have privately. That's not right. I got to get my edge back. There's been other times where I've talked about statistics about people reading the Word of God and how only 19% of people, the Christians, are reading the Word of God on a daily basis, and I can look at my life and say, you know what, without my job, I think I'd fall in the 81% for this season. Lost my edge. I got to get my edge back. There's been seasons where I've become a full-time pastor and a part-time follower of Jesus. And the reason why it's a little quiet is probably because you can relate. There's been seasons where you become a full-time parent and a part-time follower of Jesus. You've been a full-time career person and a part-time follower of Jesus. You've been a full-time student and a part-time follower of Jesus. You didn't mean to lose your edge, but you did. You didn't mean to stop praying with your spouse, but it just happened. You didn't mean to fall back into old patterns and into your addiction, but you did. You didn't mean to drift from the love and intimacy you had with God and wake up depressed and empty and hollow on the inside, but you did. You didn't mean to end up pursuing material possessions in this world, but if you're honest, you'd realize that's exactly what you did and what many of you are still doing today. You didn't mean to become a part-time follower of Jesus, but it just happened. You lost your spiritual edge. What do you do when you're swinging away with no edge? You get your edge back. And I want to talk about, for the rest of my message, how do you get your edge back? How do you get your edge back? I don't normally have points in my sermon, but I got 3 points to get your edge back this morning. And it comes out of the text by looking at what happened in the story. The first step in getting your edge back spiritually is to cry out to God. When this guy's axe head flew into the water, he called on the man of God, Elisha, to bring God in. He realized it was beyond his own ability to restore what he had lost. His only hope was to bring the power of God into his life and that God might supernaturally give him back the axe head and relieve him of a debt that he wouldn't have been able to repay. When you've lost your edge, because the Christian walk is not neat and linear, there will be times that you're feeling empty or low or like you've lost something. And the first thing you do in those moments is you cry out to God and you realize that He and He alone has the power to help you regain what was lost. You don't get that back by your own strength and power. You don't get that momentum and that edge back by doubling down on what you got, on what you can do, on your own self-effort. Instead, you go to God. And the danger comes when we try to not only do it ourselves, and then we fall and we fail to regain what was lost. And so then we're tempted to give up. And we live in a culture and in a country that says, man, when things are going well, I want to hop on that bandwagon. But the time when things go south, I want to get off. I want to abandon. I want to leave. I want to give up. And I'm so grateful that there's nowhere that you can go. There's no place that you can go. There's no distance you can travel. There's no time amount that you could be gone from the Lord to keep you away from His love and to stop you from crying out to God and having Him respond and listen to you today. No matter how far you've gone, how long you've been away, or where you've been, you're never too far from God to invite Him back into your life. I can't promise you that you're never going to lose your edge again, but what I can promise you is God is always there to help you get it back when you lose it. Amen. You are never too far away from His presence. But the first thing you got to do to get your edge back is cry out to God, to realize that you are weak and cannot do it by yourself. And Jesus longs for you to call out to Him. The entire Word of God is about how God makes weak people strong and how He gives us what we lost. The second step in getting your edge back after crying out to God is to identify where you left it, where you lost it. A real practical question Elisha asks the young prophet, where did it fall? We're asking, have you lost your spiritual edge? That's a real practical question. If your answer is, yeah, I have. I'm not what I once was. I don't have the passion, the joy, whatever it might be for you that you've lost. And I would ask you, well, where did it fall? Honestly, take a look at your life and tell me, did it fall in a specific place? Where did you lose it? Where did you lose your edge? And you're all smart people. You can probably think back to the moment of the time that you lost your edge where you can probably look back and say, oh man, I do. God, I remember it was when I took this wrong turn over here. God, I remember, it was when I invited these friends into my life. God, it was when I started dating this particular man. Maybe for you, and this is what it is for me when I lose my edge, it's usually because, God, I've been dropping some disciplines that are important. I haven't been praying as much as I ought to. I haven't been reading the Word of God. And I know that my relationship with you is not a checklist sort of relationship where you're looking in and where it's law-based. But God, I want that and I need that. And I know that in my moments and my seasons when I've got my edge, that stuff gives me more life. And so it's not that I want to do it out of obligation. I want to do it because I love you, God. But there's times, God, I've realized I've lost my edge because I've stopped praying. I've stopped reading the Word of God. I've stopped giving and tithing back, and I've stopped trusting in you to provide for my needs. I've stopped getting involved at church, and I used to be involved, and I used to be on L teams and have other people regularly speak into my life that were Christian brothers and sisters, and I don't have that anymore. Maybe that's where I lost it. Maybe it was a minister, a pastor, some Christian leader in your past, and you're like, hey, if they're going to act that way, then screw all of them. I can't take this anymore because that's not who I want to be, and you've allowed your heart to become hard, and you've blamed somebody else for what God didn't do. Be honest about where you lost it. Was it because you started approaching situations in your life with a what's in it for me attitude rather than a what's in it for others? Was it because you let apathy settle in because maybe you actually achieved something great for the Lord, and now that you've achieved it, it's like you're a higher status now and you don't know what's next? Maybe it was a word of criticism that someone gave you that got you off track. Maybe you started relying too much on a formulaic checklist approach to God, and that's just killing the relationship that you once had with Him. Maybe you started feeling entitled to things. Maybe you entered into bad relationships with negative people. Maybe you started seeing the blessings in your life as obstacles or curses. That kid that you once prayed for is now making a mess in your living room. That husband that you loved and cherished on your wedding day is now, for whatever reason, your obstacle in having a good day. Where did it fall? Where did you lose it? You once had that edge. Where did you lose it? I want you to go back to the place where you left it, because I'm a God that lets you pick it back right up where you left it. My kids have been playing this app called Geometry Dash, and the young kids love it. And it's in one of those apps where you touch the screen and it jumps. And there's different levels and different speeds, and sometimes you go backwards and forwards and through things, and it's just craziness. And they're actually incredibly great at the game. They're better than I am. And doesn't it stink, by the way, when your kids get better at you at things? It's just annoying. But anyway, they're playing this game. They're both really good at it. And there's two ways to play this game. One is in regular gameplay, and the other is practice gameplay. So regular gameplay, you play a level, and if you die, you go back all the way to the beginning, and they actually track the percentage of how far you got in the level. And so you could literally get all the way to 99%, but if you die at 99%, guess what? You're going all the way back to zero. All the way back to the beginning. And I think in our guts, a lot of us, on a much more profound level, obviously, think that way with our walk for Christ. Man, I was going so hard, and I spent all that those years, that time, that energy, that passion, and it was all going well, and somehow I lost it along the way, and I don't know if I'll ever get it back, and I don't really want to start all the way over again. The other way that they play Geometry Dash is in practice mode. And in practice mode, it's the same game, but in practice mode, you when you die, you get to start, you get to pick up where you left off. And I'm so grateful that in my walk with God, that I don't have to start all the way over, that God didn't waste anything in my life, that I get to pick it right back up where I left off. Elisha said, where did it fall? Where did it fall? You go to that place and you pick it up. And I want to say the same thing to you. Wherever it fell for you, you don't have to start all the way over again, because we got a God that allows us to pick it right back up where we left off. First step. In getting your edge back, you got to cry out to God and realize you can't do it on your own. Second step, you got to identify where you lost it. Where did it fall? And the last step, the third step this morning in getting your edge back, is you got to lift it out. When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it in the water and made the iron float. Then he said, lift it out. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, lift it out. Now turn to your second neighbor, your other choice. Say, lift it out. You should lift it out too. Then the man reached out his hand and he took it. He lifted it out. With God's help, he lifted it out. With God's help, he took it back. With God's help, we can take back what we've lost. And God will raise it up, and you just have to pick it up. What I've loved in these miracles, time and time again, one of the things that I didn't realize going into this message that's just kind of a truth that we can see is, man, God does the big things and asks us to do the little things. You do what you can do and trust God to do what He alone can do. You only got to do what you can do. And a few weeks ago, it was, you got to dig the ditch and God will send the rain. And a couple weeks ago, it was, you got to get the jars and I'll fill them up. And last week, it was, you got to make room for God and I'll bless you beyond what you ever thought or imagined, and I'll reintroduce things in your life that you thought were dead. And this week, it's only God can raise an axe head out of the water, but you gotta lift it out. You gotta pick it up. And God's saying to you today, I can get it back. And I can promise you that there's a voice in the back of your head that's saying, no, you can't get it back again. It's been too long and you've been gone too far and you've done too much and you can never have back what you once had. After all you've done, come on, you've lost the best of what you ever could have had. I came here to tell somebody today that with God, it's not too late to be the person that you thought you were going to be, that you wanted to be. It's not too late to be the person that, even more importantly, God has called you to be. It's not too late to get back what you thought you could never have again. It's not too late to have what you used to have and to have even more of it. Because with the power of our good God, He helps us find things that we never even thought, that we never even wanted to lose in the first place. He helps us get it back. And all you got to do is lift it out. He's going to supernaturally put it right in front of you, within your reach. You just got to grasp it and lift it out and say, I'm going to get my edge back. There are certain things that only God can do. You can't produce faith in yourself. Only God can do that. But you know what? You can do what the Word says, because the Word says faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. You can put yourself in opportunities to hear the Word of God, and God will do the rest. You know that God hears and answers prayers. You can't hear and answer prayers, but God can. And so you can pray to Him even if you don't feel like it. You can choose to worship even if you don't feel like you got your edge. You can choose to share your faith with other people even when you don't know all the answers to the questions yourselves. And I love the truth of God, that whenever you speak the Word of God to somebody else, it never returns empty. The word of God says it always accomplishes what it wanted to accomplish. You can spread the Word of God, but only God's going to give somebody else faith. You can get your edge back this morning. You just got to lift it out. I love Revelation 2, 4, and 5. Jesus was speaking through the prophet, or through the disciple John, to a church of people where probably many of them are where we are today. We've lost our edge. And he said to them, he says, you've forsaken the love that you had at first. He says, consider, have you fallen? He's saying, where did it fall? And he said this after. He said, repent. This is how we lift it out, by the way, this morning. We repent. We say we're sorry. We turn back. We come home. We turn from our sin. We turn from our complacency. We turn away from apathy. And we repent. And it says this. After you repent, it says, repent and do the things you did at first. When you fell in love with God, when you had your edge, what were you doing? God says, repent. Consider how you've fallen. What were you doing that was wrong? Identify that. Repent. And then do what you did at first. And God will bring it back to you, even if you never meant to lose it. Trust God to do what only He can do. Another verse, Proverbs 6, says that when the enemy steals something, that he's got to pay it back. He's not stopping at 6. 7 times. And some of you feel like you've been robbed by the enemy. And many of you have. And guess what? When you take your edge back up this morning, you're telling the enemy, I'm paying back with interest 7 times. And so you thought I was hot when I had my edge years ago. Wait till I pick it back up, because you took it from me. And I'm coming back 7 times hotter this time. So you better watch out for all the things that I'm going to do. God does it all for us. Amen. He says, lift it out. And this morning, He says, you want your edge back? You repent. You turn from your wicked ways. You do what you can do. And I trust me to do what I already did at the cross. I already went to the cross. Already paid the price for your sins. There's nothing too great that I haven't paid for. And if you think your sin is too great that even I can't cover that, then you are full of pride, because you ain't anything more special than the rest of us. Because God says, I covered every sin at the cross. I did that. And I'm giving you this gift of grace, putting it right in front of your very eyes. And all I ask is that you receive it. Open it. Rip it open. Enjoy it. Lift it out. God wants to give the edge back for some of you today. Amen. In a moment, we're going to pray. And with where the sermon and where the text brought us, I want to spend a moment confessing and repenting the ways in which we've fallen. And if we're honest, the problem with losing our edge is that we're sinners. And we live in a broken world. And many times when I'm asking you, where did it fall? You can probably point to a specific sin in your life. Something you actually did. Now, other times, because we live in a broken and fallen world, there may be some sins that other people that have done that have caused you to lose your edge. And that's sorry, and that stinks. But the Word of God says there's no one righteous, not even one. And so we come before God and we're going to spend a moment confessing our sins. And after we do that, I'm going to ask you, if you want to get your edge back this morning, to do something with me. So will you stand right now? And will you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you've done it all for us. That we don't have to do anything except receive it, except lift it out this morning. Your Spirit, God, is here to allow us, to enable us to lift it out. He's working in us. He's convicting our hearts. God, we're sorry for the things that we've done. We're sorry for the things that we haven't done. We've sinned, God, in thought, word, and deed. We are not who we want to be, who you want us to be. We've lost our edge, and we can point back to specific sins, God, and we want to, this morning, turn from that. We want to turn from that and do the things that we once did. When we had our edge. God, I thank you that you're a God of forgiveness. That when we confess our sin, your promise is, I will forgive you. Only you can do that. I will cleanse you. Only you can do that. I will wash you white as snow. Only you can do that. And so there's good news here this morning that if you confess your sins, God will forgive you. He will cleanse you. And so right now, because this is a personal thing, we don't want to just be on autopilot. God's done it all for us, but he asked us to lift it out. And because of that, this morning, right now, I'm asking you to pray to the Lord. I'm asking you to pray and confess those sins, to identify where you've fallen, where you've lost your edge. Will you pray to the Lord right now and confess that sin to him? Jesus, hear your people and thank you for doing what only you can do. I thank you for the death and resurrection. I thank you that it speaks over us this morning. I thank you that we don't have to stay where we were, stay where we are, but we can go back to that place where we had our edge. And Lord, if we feel like we've never had our edge, I thank you that you're going to take us to new heights this morning. If you want your edge back this morning, if you've lost something along the way, if you want your edge back, like the servant, the young prophet, had to lift out of the water his axe, said, I want you to lift your hand right now to the Lord. I want you to lift your hand right now. If you want your edge back, if you're tired of the way that life is and you want to live your life for Jesus Christ, you're tired of falling, you want what you once had. You had hopes and dreams and opportunities that haven't materialized. And God wants you to know those aren't dead this morning. You're going to get your edge back this morning. And you're going to pursue after those things. Because the Spirit of the Most High is inside of you. And if He's inside of you, who can be against you? We got to have our edge. We need our edge in this place. And if you want your edge back this morning, I want you to pray, Dear Jesus, I want my edge. Thank you for dying on the cross, rising from the dead, forgiving my sins, putting it within my reach, and I'm taking it up this morning. I got my edge back, and the world's gonna watch out, because I'm coming back 7 times hotter. Jesus, I pray that everyone that prays this with us right now, Lord Jesus, that you would give them a season of hope, a season of comfort, a season of peace, a season of blessing, a season of resurrecting hopes and dreams, Lord Jesus. This world needs us to be edgy. I pray for an edgy church, because there's many people out there that don't know the love and grace of Jesus Christ, and we can't keep that in any longer. We've been keeping it in for far too long. And so, Jesus Christ, you are the Lord of the universe. There is no one like you. There are no gods beside you. I got my edge, and I'm following after you faithfully till the end. I'm not going to lose it again, Lord. I'm not going to lose it again, because I'm following after you. Jesus, I pray that all of us who got our edge back this morning, that it wouldn't just be a quick decision that we make right now, God, but I pray that we would hold each other accountable. That we'd hold each other accountable, that all the people that had their hands raised would find somebody this week and say, how's your edge? You got your edge back? Because, Lord, we want to make a difference. We don't want to just have a highlight on Sunday morning. We want to be your people every single day. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for doing a mighty work. I thank you that we got our edge back. I thank you that we got our confidence back. I thank you that we got our heavenly strut back in this place. I thank you for the confidence that comes from you and you alone. I thank you for the goodness. I thank you for the power of the Spirit, because I know the enemy's coming after everyone that raised their hands. And I thank you that the power from your Spirit is stronger and greater than the power that is of this world. God, thank you that you haven't left us, that you never will, and there's nothing we can do to ever go away from your presence. We're crying out, Lord, we've fallen. But we're lifting it up this morning, and I pray this in your name. Together we say, amen.